Shalom, this is Rabbi Shlomo First at the Yeshiva Pirkei Shoshanim Yerdeya Learning Project. This is our 21st lesson in the Hilkos of Ribbis, the laws of lending with interest, which was forbidden, either midaraisa from the Torah or midarabbanan, as we'll be discussing primarily in Issa derabbanan in this share. This is going to be discussing Siman 173, Sif 1, 2, and 3 of that Siman. We're talking about here when the sales price that's being offered for an item which is being sold is going to be higher because of the daylev payment. So since it's not a ribis which is directly connected to a loan, this is what we call ribis de rabbanan, because it's involving a sale, and the Torah primarily forbids that which is a direct loan, where this is a type of a loan which is involved with a transaction between a buyer and a seller. So it's not a direct iser of prohibition of ribis min Torah, but nevertheless the rabbanan, rabbinically we forbid this type of a arrangement. Now this is primarily in effect when it's obvious that there's a special price that's being paid and offered higher because of the payment for credit to be delayed, the payment for the item being bought. And this is evident when there are actual two stated prices. One is to be paid for now, immediate payment, and another one is going to be paid for delayed payment. So we have these two prices. It's clearly evident that there's a surge because of the delay in payment. So that's something which is forbidden, and therefore it's not allowable, prohibited, to buy in credit at a higher price than the stated price for payment immediately. Now the Chavos Das explains that you have this case of ribis is only when both prices are real at the time of the purchase, meaning they're actual fixed prices. Therefore the seller, when he, in the case where let's say he'll verbally retract from an original lower price and offer and change the price if he wishes to pay immediately at a lower price, so then in fact if he wants, the buyer can decide to pay the higher price on credit, because it's as if the lower price was never really quoted, and therefore it's a less of a prohibition in terms of what we've been discussing. The Bris Yehuda says if the seller initially quoted two prices, he has the option of canceling one of the prices, and meaning the lower price, and he can accept the higher price as long as he doesn't does this before the actual kinyan, the actual acquisition that the correspondent makes on the item that's being sold. We'll talk about the necessity of making a kinyan, because when the transaction actually takes place, that's when the object is, the sale item is being transferred into the domain of the buyer from the domain of the seller. The Divrei Soferim explains that there just is no ribis in a pure loan that is used for with a heter isker, and we discussed in previous lessons. Also, if the sale is made with a heter isker to pay on credit at a higher price because of the delay in payment, that will be permissible if there's a proper heter isker, a document of partnership, so to speak, for the usage of the money and the delay in payment, and that's the standard operating procedure for these relationships between not only buyers and sellers, but also actually borrowers and lenders. If you have two prices, and it's not simply verbal, meaning it can even be advertised prices, or something which is written on the price tag of an item, and the two stated prices, one for immediate payment, one for delayed credit payment. If they're stated, advertised on the tag, as I mentioned, that's also going to be something which is going to be prohibited. Also, if let's say there's a tagged price which is low and a spoken price which is high for the delayed payment, that's also going to be rabbinical iser ribis in this particular case. Now, the ribis de rabbanan is only in this case where it's actually noticeable that the charge is being made at the higher price because he's paying on credit. The Rav Shulchan Aruch basically sets down the rule that a ribus of sales and these type of relationships and transactions we're discussing now are forbidden amid the Rabbanin, but that's only if the prices are noticeable. It's apparent that the actual charge is being made for the delay in price, the delay in payment. But if it's not noticeable, then there are possibilities that the transaction may be permissible. Now, what about offering a discount? You have two specific prices, one for on credit and another one for instant payment. So if that's the case, person cannot buy on credit, because that's going to be considered, again, an evident and absolute obvious charge, surcharge for the delay in price for payment on credit. If the standard is, however, that customers do pay on credit, there are those opinions that do permit that the transaction can go ahead, even if it's going to be a discount. So the question is, why should that be allowed? If it's going to be nevertheless a evident price charge because of the delay in payment, why should it make it if the custom happens to be that the customers do pay on payment, the buyers pay on credit, why should it be allowed that the sale go through at a higher price in spite of the fact that there's a delay in payment? So the explanation is given as follows, that there's a correlation between the sale type of transition we're making now and discussing at this point, and property rental. If you remember earlier in the previous lessons, we discussed cases where people would rent property, and according to the Torah, the rent for a property is due upon the end of the rental term. So the question is, can we make a similar comparison to buying on credit for a higher price for payments delayed and acquisition of the item now? Can that be made equivalent to the price of rental at a higher price if nevertheless there's no delay in payment, because the Torah recognizes the right that the law is, according to the Torah, that rental payments are chargeable and collectible only at the end of the rental period. So according to the Torah, the sale, for it to be effective, to be a full sale, the requirement for payment has to be immediately. In contrast, the Torah requires the rental, as I mentioned, that the payment only be made at the end. So now, the case where a renter is going to be paying at the end of the rental period, that can be paid even if there was a cheaper price made at the beginning of the actual lease. Now, the higher price will be paid at the end of the lease period, because that's when the actual money is due. So that is okay. Now, the postponement of the payment until the end of the rental payment is similar to paying a fair price, and also one who pays at the beginning is going to be getting a discount. So when you have this concept that the sales of items for higher prices for a delay in payment and the actual payment is going to represent the finality of the actual transaction, so that's going to be very similar to the case of the rental agreement, which is also being paid and rent due at the end of the transaction, the end of the lease. So if the meaning is to pay on credit, so a sale according to the halacha is equal to the rental agreement, which the rental agreement, as we've been mentioning, is paid at the end. The Torah is ruling that minig itself, when it comes to many cases of what we discuss in terms of choshen mishpat and transactions between people in terms of business and other types of things, the custom, prevailing custom in the marketplace in that particular region, many times takes on the true fixed laws that the Torah acknowledges the right that people in their business doings, as long as it's within the general realm of halakhic permissibility, they can make their own customs and rules. So if the custom is in this particular case that the credit is offered to people and they in fact buy on credit, so therefore the lower price which is being offered at the earlier time is simply equivalent to a earlier price that's offered at a renter if he would pay before the lease begins. But a higher price is being given at the time of the rental, end of the lease, and also at the time of the actual acquisition of the item. So that's going to be a simple custom that it's making the sale of an item very similar to the rental of a property. Now, according to the Mordechai, in the Ramah explains that the allowability of a sale, for example, to buy something which normally is going to be for $12, let's say, and it's going to be offered at that price, it's going to be bought on credit. It's possible to pay such a increase in price, even if the established price is to say, let's take $10, if it's being paid immediately. Since the price for the immediate payment is automatically rising to this higher price of 12, because, as the Ramah mentions, there was a situation where the Ramah was describing that since there were visitors, royalty, governmental officials, and the prices would go up at that time, so therefore, if a person is going, and the price would be at 12 at that time, so therefore, because of these royal visits that would come in and affect the price, that would make it a somewhat of a acceptable permissibility to pay the $12 price rather than the $10 price, and even if it's going to be waiting for the time for the actual payment to be made. The Makor Mayim Chaim explains the reasoning of the Ramah as follows. Since these visits by the royalty or the government officials causes the price to change, so it's as if that there's really no fixed price. So even though the price is really stated as 10, but since the price is known to go up when these visits occur, so it's as if these price is a fluctuating price and it's not actually a fixed price. So that would be okay to pay the extra $2 in this case for the delay by buying on credit. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, disagrees, and he says the sale which is permitted of 12 is a normal payment at a higher price, and because there's a different understanding of what the Ramah is meaning in terms of the understanding of the Mordechai, that the price is a risky price, and meaning since the royal visits may occur causing the price to go up, so people would in fact want to pay a price of the 12 instead of the price of 10, because if they'll get the price then in case it will even go up more than 12, that's seemingly the rationale of the Mordechai according to the Gra, not according to the way the Sma was learning. So in Sif number 2 of this Simen, the Rambam is explaining a case which is an exception to the first case we've been discussing. Then in this particular case, a person may sell the $12 item and delay will be paid at another time, and that's why it's going to be a $2 increase over the fixed $10 price for immediate payment. And it can be done in such a way if there's going to be a private offer to if he's being paid immediately, he'll pay the lower price. If he's going to pay later, it'll be sold on credit, and then the price will increase to 12 instead of the 10, the $2 increase in the market price, which had been stated previously. So the why does the person want to sell at a lower price? If you can get it at a higher price, why can't he get a higher price? It's only good business. So the assumption is that since he's pressed for cash, he needs money, needs a cash flow. So he's willing to sell at 10 shekels at a lower price instead of 12 at another time. So that's actually like the question is, what is the real actual value of the item? Is it really 10 or is it 12? It's really 12. But since he's willing to drop the price, $2 in this case, for example, to 10, because he needs the cash right now, so therefore that's permissible if he's going to pay the $12 price for the delay in payment. According to the Rashba, the seller cannot quote two prices in this particular case, meaning it has to be somewhat unstated what the actual price is. According to the Levush, it's okay if two prices are quoted in such a case. Let's say another case we're discussing here, if it's going to be lent on the stipulation that the borrower should buy from the lender, and the price is going to be at a high price. So this is very risky territory, because you're getting close to what the Torah may even call ribbit katsutza. We'll see in a moment that, again, the case is person wants a loan, and knowingly that he can't actually borrow money with a percent or a specific amount of interest charge on the loan. So a deal will be made that the borrower will agree to buy a item that the seller has to sell, but he's going to buy the item at a higher price. So there's a machlokus, there's a discussion and a dispute about this. According to the Marai, this is going to be considered to be ribis katsutsa, actual ribis deraisa, because here you're getting a actual loan, and it's only in the guise of paying the ribis through the circumvention of a sale and at an exorbitant price, a high price. So that's considered a ribis katsutsa according to the Marai, and that's exactly what the halakha is going to be in this case. However, there is another opinion that the Mabit says that this is ribis because it's only involving the sale. It's not exactly a direct loan. It's more of a payment of ribis through the circumvention of a sale. So therefore, it's only midrabanan. But most of the Akronim side with the Marai that is actually ribis katsutsa, so this should be avoided and forbidden in all cases. In Sif number 3, we're talking about a specific case where there was a stage where there was a purchase and it was made at a $12, for example, price, and there was already a completion of the actual sale. So if that's the case, then even if the customer declines, say, the cheaper offer of the $10, the seller cannot request the higher price of $12. That it's all completed, it's all based on the completion of the sale. When the sale is finalized, that is when the sale price is fixed. So what is it required to make the sale be finalized? As we mentioned earlier on in the lesson, it talks a actual kinyan. A kinyan is the transfer of the item, sale item, from the domain of the seller into the domain of the buyer, and it's usually done through hagbah, lifting it up, Meshika, dragging it, and therefore, once these are done, the sale is complete, and then the fixed price is as it is and can't be changed. According to the Bris Yehuda, he has a question whether a partial payment is considered to be a kinyan. It doesn't come to any conclusion. Now, another case we're discussing here, that let's say you have a first customer, and he buys a specific object, and the seller, instead of getting cash, received an IOU, a loan promise, that he's going to pay the amount of money from the customer for 12, the higher price. So the object was at a lower price, and the owner of the object, the seller, received the IOU from the borrower that he got the higher price of 12. Secondly, in this next stage of the transactions taking place, the seller now offers to sell the customer, who is now, the customer is considered to be the borrower, because the borrower gave the IOU to the seller, and he's willing to give a loan of 10 at a lower price. So according to the Mechaber, one can sell the loan to somebody else. Just if you get an IOU and you can sell that on the market for a specific price. So also the Mechaber says that the borrower has the right to rebuy the, and the seller has the right to sell to the borrower the IOU. So in this particular case, the Rama agrees with the Mechaber. So if the sale isn't completed, again, if there's been a kinyan for the actual object, and the seller gives the loan to the customer, because he's not paying right away, so it's like the seller is giving an actual loan to the customer. Therefore, if the customer is going to reject the seller's offer to sell at another price, then the sale remains binding, and the customer owes 12. And therefore, the loan is so to speak, effective, and the sale is also effective, and therefore the sale price, which is a higher price, is actually going to be permissible. However, if the sale is not complete, it's not binding yet, the item has not been transferred from the domain of the seller into the domain of the buyer, then the second price, the customer will have to pay the two prices, and then when we have a two price statement, because again the sale has not been complete, so therefore it's like there are two existing prices at the same time, a higher price for delayed payment and a lower price for immediate payment. So once you have that, that's going to be the two price difficulty, and therefore it'll be forbidden to do such a transaction like that. So this has been our 21st lesson in Ribbis, the Pirkei Shoshanim Yer Deah project of learning, and we'll be seeing you next time. Rabbi Shlomo First, hoping to see you next time.